It's great to be able to get together with you all and worship God in song. It always cheers me up before I get up here, which is sometimes necessary. I'm going to talk tonight about the spirit of the scriptures. There's been a lot of movies created about the Bible and about elements of the Bible being shown. And a lot of them, I've noticed just recently, have had some sort of a disclaimer at the front that describes sort of their aim. So I'm going to focus on two movies and their positions as a way to look into what the spirit of the scriptures is. I'm not judging these movies in terms of quality, but I am going to judge them based on their claim. In The Prince of Egypt, which is a story about the Exodus story, basically, it starts with this section. The motion picture you're about to see is an adaptation of the Exodus story. While artistic and historical license has been taken, we believe that this film is true to the essence, values, and integrity of a story that is a cornerstone of faith for millions of people worldwide. The biblical story of Moses can be found in the book of Exodus. This is actually pretty good. I like this. And I appreciate that it started out with that statement. So they're definitely going to take some liberties, but they believe they're holding true to a spirit in this film. Just recently, there was a mini-series on the History Channel. I don't know if any of you have either seen either of these. That series, 10-hour long, started with this. This program is an adaptation of Bible stories that changed our world. It endeavors to stay true to the spirit of the book. So, is there any way for us to judge this? What does that mean? What is the spirit of the book or the essence of the Bible? Each one of these is attempting to stay true to something, the essence, the value, and integrity of those stories in Exodus. The spirit. Webster's Dictionary, one of the definitions, probably the one that fits the most, says the general meaning or intent of a statement or document, etc., especially as opposed to the letter, when someone says this is true to the spirit but not the letter. And to me, this implies that you use that spirit as a guide to help you determine what to leave in and what to leave out. How you're going to show what you're going to show should line up with the spirit that you're trying to show. When I was in college in literature, we studied a book that I really don't like Ernest Hemingway very much, but this story, Hills Like White Elephants, is a short story. And when we studied that in class, it had a profound effect on me. If you haven't read it, or even if you have, it's a story about a man and a woman who arrive at a train station who are waiting for a train to come. And they observe the hills around them, they get a drink, they talk about something, but he never tells you what they're talking about. It's very frustrating. It's roundabout, and they seem to make some kind of decision or fight about it, and they're waiting for the train to come, and then they seem to come to a decision, and then the story ends. And when everyone came back to class to talk about it, we were so frustrated because it was like, I was waiting for something to happen. I was waiting for the train to show up. I was waiting for, an event, and there was no event. And what we learned is that what Hemingway had done is he was telling us in a very pointed way, you missed it. If you were waiting for something else, you missed it. What I meant to tell you has already happened. Go back again and look again. He left out things that we were expecting so that we would go back and look at what he was truly trying to say. And to me, that was a really important lesson about when a person is writing something specifically, what they don't include is as important as they do because it guides us and helps us to truly understand what they're going to tell us. And Prince of Egypt is an excellent example. In the Prince of Egypt movie, it spends a lot of time on Moses' childhood, expanding what it was like for him to grow up as a stepbrother to the Pharaoh that he would later talk about. And none of that is in the scriptures. And I consider that to be an excellent point, because why didn't God include those? Who wrote the book of Exodus? Moses wrote the book of Exodus, inspired by God. Do you think he knew what happened during his childhood? He wasn't writing an autobiography. He didn't include any of that detail, even though he had full knowledge of every bit of it. Something else is happening in the book of Exodus. It's not a story about the prince of Egypt. It's not a story about Moses. And that is important to me. So as we go about, a question I ask is, can we judge? Can we judge whether these movies have stayed close to what their intended spirit was? I think that we can, by looking at what they chose to include, the things that they selected, especially the Bible claims to cover in a broad scope the entire Bible. So what elements did they choose to highlight what they wanted to say? What did they add that was not in Scripture originally? What did they leave out? What was the effect of the changes that they made? That should communicate the Spirit. And then, why did they do those things? This is tricky. This involves a personal kind of judgment. So in order to really judge this, what is the spirit of the Scriptures? Have you ever spent any time thinking about that? I mean, we read the individual books and summarize them and come to an understanding of them. What would you say, how would you, in a clear, single idea, express what the Bible is all about? I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I would love to hear what you all have to say. So talk to me about it afterwards. There are many recurrent themes in the Bible that come from Genesis all the way through. There is sin, the central problem of humanity. There's redemption and salvation, God's solution to sin. Love is a grand theme throughout the entire Bible. Perseverance. People who continue to stay true to the right course and people who fail to do so. A major theme. Choice is a major theme, which is actually contested by many religious bodies. They don't believe we have choice. Ultimately, it's an interpretation that you come to by your grouping together your full understanding of the Scriptures. But I'd like to put forth my interpretation of it right now. A central statement or meaning of the Bible. What is the spirit of the Scriptures? I think it's God. God is the central theme of the Bible from beginning to end. Not only that, God is. That is a central theme. God exists. When he introduced himself to Noah in the beginning, he said, I am. I am that sent you. God's existence is one of the major expressions of the Bible because really, everything else doesn't make any sense unless he exists. Now, there's a lot of stories about people who did good things or bad things and survive things, but without God's existence, the whole thing doesn't have any value at all, except for as a good story. But in the beginning, it starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He does exist, and therefore, then come the reactions. Not only does he exist, but he's a specific personality. He has a specific nature. And the Bible asserts that through everything. As we talked about, Moses doesn't really talk so much about his own life because the story is not about him, it is about God. We talked about Manasseh this morning, and you pointed out specifically that Manasseh did terrible things and changed and did good things, but in the end, the focus of that is that God forgave him, that God is the kind of God who will forgive. There are countless examples, central ideas of his existence, and that he is powerful. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the beginning of everything that we see around us. His strength and his might, his ability to do anything that he wants. He is wise, all-knowledgeable, and omniscient, and always chooses the right thing to do and teaches us the right thing to do. Not only that, we learn early on that he's just. When at the time of Noah, all of mankind is doing evil. He judges them, and he determines that the world as a whole is disobedient to him and needs to be wiped out. But we also learn that in spite of that, he loves. He loves us tremendously, enough to plan before the foundation of the world to save us. And what I consider to be, I mean, each one of these folds into God is, but that he, because of these things, these qualities, and because of the truth of his existence, he's worthy to be praised. We've sang a lot of praise songs today, and we always do, because God is great. There is no better. He's worthy to be praised by his sheer existence and by his traits and characteristics and what he shows to us. He's our creator. He began us. He is our reason for living throughout the scope of our lives and our eternal destiny from here on. God is the sum reason for existence as well as the prime motivator. So, I think he's an excellent candidate for being the spirit of the scriptures. And when I look at whether or not those movies or other things hold true to that spirit, my question is always, do they glorify God? You know, are the choices they making, are they elevating God as who he is? Are they telling us who God is? Because even though the Bible tells us about person after person, if you ever read a large anthology or like a series of books that's like 10 books long, inevitably the main character that you're in love with will die and other characters will come in. What's fantastic about the Bible is even though those characters live a short period of time, we see the vast scope of history. God is always there. He's the constant throughout all of them. And every one of those interactions shows us something about God. In fact, it's actually possible to study the entire Bible and after every chapter, ask yourself, what did I learn about God in this chapter? And you will be able to answer that question for every single chapter in the scriptures. That's how complete. In fact, I started to try to make a slide to show his position, but I eventually gave up. This is just... He is the theme from beginning to end, complete. So I went onto the internet, which you can do this in your spare time, and I typed in God is. And I found a website that just collected together a survey of scriptures beginning with Exodus on through Revelation. Here's a brief overview of some passages that tell us something about God. And of course, since every chapter includes information about him, this is just an arbitrary overview. You will learn more about God the more you study, and he's worth getting to know. I'm going to read one of them, Exodus chapter 34. This is when God presented himself to Moses. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is a God that comprises justice and love and mercy in perfect balance. Now let's go back to the films. I'm going to choose some arbitrary examples to show what I think the central themes in those are. In Prince of Egypt, it goes into tremendous detail about Moses' life as a child, because they want you to understand Moses as a human being, you know, the things that he went through, what it was like for him to face Ramses, and it is more emotionally impactful. But in my understanding of the spirit, the reason God didn't include those again is because it is not a part of God's story. It's not I mean, we all have a tendency to be curious. So we want to ask those questions, and there's nothing wrong with exploring it in our minds, as long as we understand that when we're off the beaten path, God didn't reveal that for a reason. What he wants us to know is what he revealed for a clear purpose. And this is one of the major reasons why I believe, in fact, that actually gets me the most angry, that they make a statement like they do at the beginning of this film, and the most violence they do is to the central spirit of that story. Because that history is about God delivering his people, about God keeping his promise. And they make it about Moses. And he is important. And the scriptures do elevate him to a certain degree. But that story is about God. And God gets shorted in the Prince of Egypt, the way I see it. Aaron's role is completely left out. They, again, focusing entirely on Moses, they make it about Moses as the leader and as the person that had to struggle with this. And what we know when we read the Bible is Moses had a very difficult time with that. He was reluctant to go in the first place, and he had trouble speaking. And Aaron was the one who did the majority of speaking. And this, I've seen this many times, so it must be historically traditional now to just focus on Moses alone. But it was more complicated than that. And again, it was God that was taking the action. And a horrifying thing, at the end of the movie, he comes, we don't get to see what happens after he brings the Ten Commandments. But when he first walks around the corner, you see in the background the rejoicing children of Israel as he walks around the corner with the tablets and the, you know, sun is shining on him, and it's a glorious moment, and the movie ends right there. And what we know is they're worshiping a false god at the bottom of that hill, and as soon as he sees them, he's going to be ferociously angry and break the tablets, and they had already abandoned God by that point, and it was not a moment of triumph. Now, the Bible, the TV series, I could go on and on about this one, so I have to make it short. But that one was full of fairly ridiculous action scenes. You see that right away, a lot of blood and karate angels and ninja actions. And what you can really see is, and we have a lot of, the people who made that movie spent a lot of time doing interviews, so we really know a lot about why they did what they did. But it's full of sensationalism. It's kind of like the Rembrandt of the modern film era, because Rembrandt took all the most lurid, amazing sections of the Bible and painted them in shocking color and disgustingness to shock people into being impressed with the Bible. There's a lot of overemphasized emotions and identifying with the individual people involved, again, focusing on mankind and not on God. And whenever we've talked about this before, what's really special about the Bible is that the individual people in there, Abraham and Moses, every one of the great heroes of the Bible, Joseph, they have weaknesses. They have failings that, Jacob is a great example, but they have failings that make them very human and very reliant upon God, even though they are great heroes. And when a person goes to make a film about those heroes, they inevitably choose to leave out the humbling elements. So we really don't understand, again, that it's not the strength of Moses that caused this to happen. It's not the strength of any human leader in these situations. It is God that's taking the action. People are always curious about Bathsheba also, about her part in how she felt about what she was doing with David. And again, it's not important. It's not the focus of the Bible, but that's brought in. My conclusions are these films were made to compete with a modern film for production values, and they focus on the humanity of the people involved so that we can identify with them better. And they appeal to the curiosity that we have about the things that aren't recorded in the Bible, and really focus on building excitement and interest and getting people to think the Bible is cool. This is a quote from one of the people who produced this, the Bible TV series. "These ancient people are people we can identify with. These people are us. This is our story. Ultimately, a story of hope and redemption." So for Roma Downey, the story of the Bible is a story of humanity, which is included. But it's not the central, theme, and it really leaves out the core of what the Bible is all about. And I think that does damage to people that view it, because it does not show what needs to be shown. Now, I've often wished that I could make a movie. Every time I watch one of these, it's like, I wish I could be the one to choose what could go in, and I could really glorify God that way. But what's interesting is I do have opportunities like that. This is one of those opportunities. In our lives, we have the opportunity to be true to the spirit of the scriptures also. When I put together a lesson like this, I cannot preach the whole Bible. None of us can. So we choose elements out of the Bible that reveal a point that's in the scriptures. We sometimes add stories and anecdotes, and I brought in something that didn't have anything to do directly with scriptures to get our minds thinking about what the Bible is trying to communicate. We choose what to add to further illustrate points. The question is, am I being true to the spirit of the scriptures? Because if I preach a lesson or teach someone or teach a class, and in the end God is not glorified, I've done it wrong. I made some kind of terrible mistake, and I've gone off the deep end in some way. If God is not glorified by what I'm teaching here, then this has been wrong. I write, these stories. We each, as we do it, as we teach a lesson, we choose these things to show what's right. But what about you? You're writing a story when you live your life also. You get to choose, what do you bring into your life? What do you express in your life? What do you add? What things will you not contribute to? What things will you not be a part of? You get to choose your actions, your thoughts, and your speeches. Are you being true to the spirit of the Bible? Are you glorifying God? Because if at the end of the day you have lived your life and you look back and say, has God been glorified today in my life? And if the answer is no, then we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong if we don't live our lives to the glory of God. So how do you live in a way that's in line with the spirit of the scriptures? Jesus shows us that the only way to be true to the true spirit of the letter of the law, is to be true to the letter of the law. There is no conflict between the two. A lot of times when people talk about the spirit of the law versus the letter, they're saying there's some conflict between them. But what Jesus clearly points out is they are in perfect harmony. You cannot glorify God. You cannot be in line with the spirit without following the letter. Uh-oh, I lost a passage. Right, in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, he rebukes them, and he says, "Woe to you," in Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you tithe the mint and dill and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." He puts in there the elements of the spirit of the law with the letter of the law and says, you've done a terrible thing because you have not done both. So movies are one thing. Talking about other people's stories or lessons or judging whether or not they're true to what the Bible says, I do that constantly, and we should all be watching for what's true and what's not true. But our lives are another thing. We only have one of those. It's not something that we can waste. Don't let your life be a tragedy, a story that's gone off the rails and that ends in hell. Now's the time for you to focus your life on Jesus again if you've fallen away, to make him proud, to glorify him with every ounce of your being, to follow what he commands. If you've not become a Christian yet, now's your chance to come forward, to confess his name, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now is the time. as we stand and sing the song.